Okay, good morning. Anyone out there? Yeah. All right, thank you. Okay, before I pray, does anyone know October 31st, what day that is? College students? Halloween? No, it's not Halloween. In the church calendar, what is October 31st? Huh? Marquette students? It's not Halloween. That's not the answer. It's not even Hallelujah night. Okay? Not Hallelujah day. Anyone know? Just shout out. What? All Saints? No. Nope. No one knows? It's Reformation Day. You guys remember Reformation? Where John Calvin from Geneva, Martin Luther from Germany, John Knox from England, Great Britain, and Ulrich Zwingli from Switzerland, it wasn't planned. It was an uprising in those places against the indulgences of the church back. There was only one church back then. Now we have like multiple churches and multiple denominations. Back then, there was only one denomination called capital C Catholic Church, which is today. And those pockets of churches and those guys rose up and challenged the indulgence practices. Basically, what indulgence was, and back then, a lot of the Catholics believed, the church believed, and have you guys heard of the, it escapes me now, purgatory. So a lot of Christians, if you've done bad things on earth, you will go to purgatory, which is like a little place where you suffer a little bit, okay, before you go to heaven. And so if you paid the indulgences to the church, and a lot of the church back then used that money to build like gigantic buildings, and nothing wrong with having a nice building. You know, our church here, we have a great building. But it was really works-based a thing that the church did. And so John Calvin and Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli and John Knox, they all rose and Reformation happened. So the Catholic Church, the only church was now Catholic, and the Protestant Reformation happened. And believe it or not, you guys are at a church, a Protestant church. Okay, you're not at a Catholic church because of that Reformation that happened. So October 31st is not Halloween. Every October 31st is Reformation to celebrate the church calendar, celebrating what happened back then. All right? Anyway. So usually I actually, in the past years of like, I don't know how many years, 6, 7 years, I've done like a Reformation Sunday sermon, but this year I won't do it. Because we're kind of in a small group relationship series right now called Jesus and Relationship. We're on part 3. Mark Esther, you guys missed part 2, I think. I think you guys were here in part 1. And, okay? Well, anyway, let me pray for us before we begin. If you could join me in prayer. Our great God and Savior, our Father in heaven, we come as not as capable people. We are as helpless, as ignorant, as blind as the Israelites in the Old Testament. As rebellious, as hard-hearted, unwilling to follow Your word, create idols in our lives to worship and not worship the true God. We need help. Father, have you know what they need? They don't need me to say opinions up here. They need your truth, spirit and in truth. Truth will set them free from from bondages and idols and all kinds of things that prevent us from wanting to, not begrudgingly, but enjoy doing, obeying, following you and your word. We need your help. Please, please do not leave us to ourselves. What a tragedy. What a tragedy in the making that would be. Father, help. Bless your children that way. Open your word. We have read your word, and that will come with power. Power from on high. Change us forever. I pray. Now. All this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. So we have looked at last two Sundays, titled Jesus and Relationship, that Jesus, listen carefully, Jesus makes relationships work in the church, in your fellowships, on campus, out of campus, here. We saw that Jesus makes understanding, remember sympathes, understanding one another work. And then two Sundays ago, we saw that. And then last Sunday, we saw that Jesus makes loving one another work in the church. Just try it. Try to love and understand one another just by your own strength and by your own knowledge. It doesn't work. It doesn't. It is impossible. Only Jesus makes relationships possible. So you married couples or you're dating, you need that. You need Jesus in the middle. That's what you need. In relationship with friends and roommates, Jesus has to be part of it. Not just you and trying to do it yourself. Good night, good night. I have learned. I'm still learning. You know, I've been married almost 7 years with my wife, and yes, when I try to do things on my own with my life to make the marriage work, it doesn't work. It doesn't. That's why we have divorces and separations. All right, this morning we want to look at another aspect of relationship called acceptance, accepting one another, and how Jesus makes accepting one another work among the body, in the body, in the church. Okay? And we see that in Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Look at it with me really quickly. As for one who is weak in faith, the word is, in the ESV, it says, welcome him. If you have the NIV, you should say, accept him. I think there's a welcome him, accept him. It's the same, we'll receive him. As for the one who is weak in the faith in the church, accept him, welcome him, receive him. And you don't have to be, you like, you could look it up. In the NIV, it makes it more sense. He says, accept him. You should say that in NIV. Accept him. It's actually it's a command. It's in the imperative. I'll give you a little grammar. Imperative. It's not like, okay, if you like each other and if you like what he says or what he does, then receive him. Then welcome him. Then receive him. It doesn't say that. Receive him. Receive him. Welcome him. Whoever that is, accept him. It's a command. In other words, you must do this. Not you think about it and see if you want to do it or not. That's not what it means. You must accept him. You must receive him. You must welcome him. That's what he says. That's what he's saying. But Paul, God is saying to you and I, you must do this. It's not if you feel like it or not, or you're having a bad day or not. That's not what he says. I often grieve at myself. I don't know about you guys, and if you're like anything like me, like a human being, a sinner, I often grieve at myself, and you should grieve at yourself, because there are not just this command, not try it, do it! There are hundreds in the Bible that God and Jesus says, do it. Do it. It's good for you. It's good for you. And it maximizes God's glory and power. Do it. And yet, he says that over and over again. I mean, forget the Old Testament. Even just the New Testament. It says that over and over again. And yet, what do? We ignore it. Wait, God. Or we simply ignore hundreds and hundreds of commands all the time. All the time. The Bible are filled with God, Jesus' commands that are good for you. Maybe you might not like the word command, even though it is there. If you don't like that word, commanding, I don't want to be commanded. There are times when God is pleading with you. Do it. I beg of you, do it. Don't stiff arm him. Don't ignore him. Don't claim ignorance. I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you should start reading this book. You should be studying this book. You know, one of the things, before I move on about acceptance, one of the things that I want to try to do at Life Creek, and it's not anything new, okay, is Bible study. I mean, you should be reading and studying on your own, you know, during the week, but we're gonna do it here. We're going to do a Bible study. I'm going to try to attempt to do a Bible study on campus at Marquette. And I haven't talked to you guys. I know I've been at Cornell University for the past 6 years and UCLA and USC on campus. And yes, you guys are super busy. Some of you guys have been trying to plan meetings with you guys. And it seems like you guys are busier than Cornell students, crying out loud. But we will. You should be always, always wanting to, willing to learn. Never stop. I'm 43 years old. I've been dedicating my life. I have lazy streaks in me too, but my life, pretty much when I became a Christian, to this book for about 20-some years. I can't stop learning. You can't stop learning. You're going to be a student of the Word forever. Some of you older folks right there, okay? You might be retired, okay? Or empty nesters, but you can't be retiring from this. You can't. You gotta be always, always excelling and learning. Learning. This book is inexhaustive. It is for you and your soul. For life. Every time when I neglect this book, in a day or the week, I'm not a very good person. I'm not getting life from it, sustenance from it, joy from it, grace from it, faith from it. And when I'm not doing that, I'm just a terrible husband. I get irritated by the smallest things, Why'd you put that there? I could trip over it, whatever. And so, give yourself to the study and the reading of it. Okay. Anyway, Yeah, I don't know how I got into that little sermonette there, but as for one who is weak in faith, accept him. Accept him. But the word welcome him, accept him, is not just like saying, oh, hey, welcome to Life Creek, you know, and shake your hand and, you know, whatever, you know, do a fist pump or, hey, that's not what he's saying here. It's not even just also saying, oh, let's sit together, you know, afterwards, you know, and make conversations with one another. That's not a word accept, welcome, and receive here. The word accept someone or welcome someone or receive someone is receive, accept someone as precious. Receive, welcome someone as valuable. Anyone here collect baseball cards? I mean, maybe you ladies collected like stickers or I don't know, back in the day. I used to collect stamps back in the early, like mid, late 80s to like early 90s in my middle school, high school days. I used to collect stamps. I used to collect comic books. Anyone? Just some of you. Maybe you guys didn't do that. But I also collected baseball cards. And I try to collect all the every year, you know, get the whole set and put them in a little box and the label of the year. Yeah, and I was a little geek back then. I used to always once in a while go to the baseball card shop. These days they don't have baseball card shop. Maybe there is, but I haven't seen it. You know why? So I used to go to a baseball card shop and try to, I'm a little kid, right? I don't have that much money. And then I would, look at some of the baseball cards. And then in the glass case in front of the owner, there was a Darryl Strawberry. Okay, you don't know who Darryl Strawberry is, but he plays for the Mets. Some of you older people might know. Hey, 1980, he was the first draft pick by the Mets, okay? And I had... Okay, even though I came to the States in 1984, I had this car for some reason. I had the car, Darryl Strawberry, 1980 first round draft pick, Topps. And I had it, okay, so by 10 years now. And the owner said, that is worth a lot. That is worth $5. $5 doesn't mean a lot to you now. But back then, if you bought a Topps, like a little package, and you got a car, that would maybe a good car would be like 50 cents, would be like, wow, a dollar? I will put it in a little plastic, little thin plastic little thing and seal it. $5 Darryl Strawberry first round draft pick card. I ran home. And I put it in a thicker plastic thing and put it in. $5. Back then, $5 was worth a lot of money. I put it in, sealed it up, and put it in my drawer and kept it there because even though I had it, I didn't receive it, I didn't welcome it, I didn't accept it as precious, as valuable. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't just welcome him, people who are weaker in faith. Accept people as precious. Like the Darryl Strawberry 1980 first round draft pick Topps card. That's how you accept people as precious. That's what he's saying. Don't just say hi. Don't just make conversations with one another or someone who's weaker in faith. Accept, make conversation as though they're precious brothers and sisters who God, through Christ, has redeemed them, accepted him or her. Not just obey this command, accepting one another, but accept each other, one another, as precious. Like the Darryl Strawberry rookie card. And Paul goes on to say, look at verse 2 and 3. There's two words that Paul uses that is not acceptance as precious. Look at it. One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise, that's the word, despise, don't do that. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed him. Despise and judgment. Accept as precious, and not treat with another translation of the word despise there. You could translate a word with contempt. To treat someone with contempt. You guys know what the word contempt means? Okay. I mean, you could use it a word in a court legal word. So I would ask Brian what that means, okay? But the word contempt, and let me use it as an animal, an insect. Anyone know what a gnat is? Gnats? I hate gnats. I don't know if there's gnats in Wisconsin. Hey, maybe there is or maybe there isn't. Maybe it's too cold. But where I grew up in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area, in the summertime, okay, playing basketball, there are gnats everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? They fly above your head. And there's not just one. There's like hundreds flying. And sometimes they're so annoying. Sometimes they go into your eye. Oh, hurts. I hate gnats. I mean, I hate them with a passion. I have no idea why God created gnats. I'm sure it's useful in the whole ecosystem and the balance. And so, instead of like, trying to like do something with it, you know, like kill it. I mean, sometimes you try to catch a gnat, you just can't catch it. They're so fast. But somehow you get rid of them, they come right back into, right, you know, above your head. I just like, they like right here. I have no idea. So weird. And so what I do is, they're not there. I don't bother with them. What I do is I just ignore them. I act as they are nothing. That's the word contempt. Accept people as precious, or they're not just nothing. Contempt is they're nothing, nothing. They're super nothing. They're not worth your time. That's the word contempt. They are super worthless. To do anything, waste your energy trying to kill them or whatever, or swat them or go like this or something. And Paul is saying, accept people as precious, weaker ones. Don't do that. Have you done that? You know, sometimes when I argue with my wife, basically how argument happens is it gets hot. Whether like I don't scream, okay, but I might raise my voice, okay, and then she raises her voice. When I first met her, she was very quiet, you know, Japanese descent woman, you know, she's very quiet, like a kind of close to like traditional Korean woman. Very quiet, very subdued, doesn't say much. Now she says a lot of stuff. Like, so when I get mad about something, and she would, you know, I would like raise my voice, and she, you know, she will raise her voice sometimes, and so it gets hot, okay, for whatever, a few minutes, and then it gets cold. It gets hot and it gets cold, and it's the cold when sometimes we have contempt for one another. Am I the only one who done that to my wife or to other people? I've done that to my friends. This Chinese guy, one of my good friends, David Yang, we're in a car driving from Northern Virginia to back to school. It's like an hour and a half, so we will always go there to eat, you know, good Chinese food or Korean food. like how you guys might go from Milwaukee to like Chicago, right? To eat food. And it was the stupidest argument. I remember, we were so dumb back then. We're college students. We were so dumb. And we're arguing. We always argue. We're so competitive. And we're arguing. You know, the Korean, Chinese, the brown, you know, the, what do they call it? It's a noodle, and then you put a lot of, like, this black sauce. Jajangmyeon, you know, jajangmyeon, you know, in Chinese. What we're arguing, is the sauce black or brown? We're arguing the whole time, and I was arguing, it's black, okay? It's not brown. It's brown. And then after 30 minutes, back and forth, we're shaking each other's head, we're shaking, and then we had contempt for one another. I was driving, and I would ignore him. He's worthless. He would say something, and I'd be like, is someone talking? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll do that to my wife at sometimes. I'm not proud of it, and I'm mad, and it's cold, and she will say something, and I just walk right past her, you know? Because I'm mad. You're worthless. You're super nothing. I ignore you. You're not worth my time. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't do that to one another. Don't treat them like super nothing. That they're non-existent. Don't ignore them. And the second thing he mentions is about judgment. Let me give you another example, okay? I hate gnats, okay? I hate mosquitoes. Anyone here hate mosquitoes? I just can't stand when a mosquito enters our apartment or our house. You know, I even hate that noise. Like, so not, I can't have contempt. Like, I just can't ignore mosquitoes. I need to find that mosquito and put judgment upon it. You know? Kill it. Because mosquitoes, all they do is land on you and suck you dry. Okay? That's judgment. Judgment is punishment. It's like you want to squash that person. Bring judgment upon it. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Especially to those who are in the faith. Your brothers and sisters, whether they're weak or not. Whether they're immature or not. And the main argument, he says, accept them as precious. Don't contempt. Treat them as contempt or judgment. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome or accept one another as Christ has accepted or welcomed you for the glory of God. And in verse chapter 14, verse 2, look at what he says, or 3. Let not one who eats despise the other, okay? And don't pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has what? God has accepted him. Accept others as precious because God has accepted that person as precious. One. And the other argument of accepting someone as precious, not just saying hi, how you doing, how's your day, is God has accepted you as precious, even though you are not acceptable. You are unacceptable to him as precious, even though he accepted you. I mean, who does things like that? It only in Christianity that's possible. You do not receive him, but he received you as precious and laid down his life for you. That has the kind of acceptance and precious. It costed his life. Not his sinless life. He's perfect. The father looked at his son. This is my perfect son. He obeyed me until he was a baby, until he left. He's a perfect baby. And he sacrificed that for you to be acceptable. That's precious. He received you, even though you were unreceivable, unwelcomable. He did that. Why would you, when you have gained that kind of a grace, that kind of a pardon, forgiveness, that you will not extend that to someone else, especially your brothers and sisters in the church who are younger in faith? It reminds me of the parable. Remember the parable of the Jesus at the parable of the unmerciful servant? Remember the two servants? And the first servant begged the king, "King, forgive me." And the debt was enormous. A debt that the servant could not pay back if he worked all his life. And because the servant asked the king for mercy, king granted mercy. Remember that? And what happened though? Did he extend that mercy to other who owed him pennies? Denarii? No. That's you. That's me. You have received forgiveness much. You've been accepted much as precious, and yet you could not extend that to others. Denarii accepted as precious. And do you know what happened to that servant who was forgiven much and he couldn't extend penny forgiveness to his fellow servant? Do you know what happened? God was not happy. He was not happy. If you know that you've been forgiven much, then it goes that you would extend that to your brothers and sisters who will commit penny offenses against you. It's pennies. You know, the things that my wife and I do to each other, okay? You know, most often, and I know this in my head because I read it in marriage books and I read it in the Bible, you know, and every time whatever offenses that I think that my wife has done to me, okay, she didn't give me what I wanted. Okay, she didn't give me the praise I wanted, or she didn't give me the warm dinner that I don't know, whatever, okay, selfish stuff. Instead of extending forgiveness or grace to her, most often, I'm grieved by this. You should be grieved. Instead of extending mercy and grace to the person that needs it, you know what we do? What do? We ignore them. We have contempt on them, and we judge them. And you could even judge them spiritually, right? You've been in church how long? How long have you been in church? Grew up in a church? 15 years? 20 years? You don't know the Bible? If I did like a test, okay, tell me the books in the Bible, 20 years in the faith, can you tell me? Anyone can tell me? The books in the order in the Bible from beginning to the end. Yeah, the proud person right here. Just kidding. You know what I mean? Or tell me what it says in the Bible. Instead of doing that, okay, it doesn't matter how much you don't know. I mean, it does matter, but as long as you're willing to learn. Do you want to learn? You want to learn? I was really encouraged. I'm gonna end. I promise. I'm not gonna mention the name. I was encouraged when a person in this church texted me and said, "Pastor Tim, I want to do a Bible study." It's like, oh, where'd you hear that from? Did you hear it from one of the leaders? Because, you know, in our leaders meeting, we talked about doing a Bible study. We don't know when. A church Bible study. Maybe one here, or, you know, here, and maybe one on campus, on Marquette, if there's some interest. And did one of the leaders, Sabrina, or like, you know, like Judy, or someone, you know, or other friend tell you that there's a Bible study? He's like, oh, no, I just, after your sermon last week, and it wasn't even about Bible study. Like, it was about loving one another. I want to do a Bible study. Can I have a ride? Sure, of course. It's not have a ride and let's go Six Flags or something or go shopping, okay? I want to ride because I want to do a Bible study. Wow. That, a pastor, I wish all of you guys did that. A pastor would love you if you did that. Not forcefully. If you're a born-again Christian, don't you want to learn this, the greatest treasure in all of the world? There's treasures here. If you just had some time and some discipline to dig the treasures. You know, a lot of you college students and up, you read a little bit and like, I did my Bible study today, my quiet time. God's going to bless me and give me an A. Doesn't work that way. It takes some time. It takes prayer. Just one prayer. Open my Bible, and I always pray. Don't be fans, but God, teach me. The psalmist says this, open my eyes, I might see wonderful things in the Word. This is wonderful. Marvelous. God, the creator of the universe, is marvelous. He's spectacular. More spectacular than all the diamonds that Gino has in his store. Okay? As spectacular as all the jewelry is, it's more precious. 100,000 times more precious than all the jewelry, all the possessions in the world is right here. It's not worth your time. I beseech you, I implore you to give yourself in your small groups, in your personal time to it, Life Creek Church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen? Accept one another in Christ. Love one another in Christ. Seek to understand one another through Christ and in Christ. Amen, Life Creek? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we should repent, willing to repent. You always give your children second, third, fourth chances. You're so merciful. You give us chances more than we deserve. You are that kind of a God. May we not take that for granted and abuse this amazing grace that you dump upon your people. Cause affections to rise up within us for your word. Affections to rise so that we might, whatever we want to call it, to life together with brothers and sisters, to cry, to share our joys and our pain, prayer. We might learn together because we really want to. We will sacrifice our TV time or sports time or whatever hobby time so that we might get together because we want to. It's more precious. So that we might grow together in unity, one faith, one spirit, one Lord, one baptism. So different. So many other gifts, different gifts, yet we are one in Christ. And Lord, as we take our communion next Sunday, which symbolizes oneness with many gifts, different, but yet one in Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you. And continue to pour upon your Spirit in power and your grace that we will go to you daily, daily, daily. To the grace in your word that you have given to us, and that we will take advantage of it, that we will not starve in the graces and spiritually, but that we would thrive in them. Oh, make that miracle happen in this church at Life Creek. I can't do it, but you can. The Spirit of Christ, may you blow this way, Spirit of truth, and convict, get us excited about something that's worthy to be excited about, not some football game or baseball game or basketball game or golf game or whatever stuff that we do. And we get more excited about those upper echelon realities, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen.